So here we are. We're in the book of Acts this morning. Acts, it's real easy. If you're from the South, it's like you ask your mama if you can go out and play. You ask the teacher if you can go to the bathroom. It's just a real simple word. But A-C-T-S, this is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And so this is the church that Jesus built. This is his church. You say, well, wonder what kind of church Jesus went to. This is the one he started. And you can tell a lot about someone by the church they attend. Acts 1, of course, just a little review. Acts 1, this written by Luke. It's inspired by God, of course, his word. The human writer was Luke. And Acts 1, they're finishing up some issues because Judas had ended his life. So they're addressing that. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell and to empower every member. And so now they're getting ready to scatter and witness. Chapter 3, someone gets healed and a bunch of people get saved. Chapter 4, persecution begins. And then chapter 5, we have two hypocrites, a husband and a wife, Ananias and Sapphira. They lie to God and God kills them. And then Jerusalem is filled with the doctrine. And now we see in Acts chapter 6, let's look at this passage. And like I said, we're going to let you out earlier because I told you so. So here we are, Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now stop and think. If you read all the previous chapters, there was 120 Christians in the upper room. Then in Acts 2, 3,000 got saved and were added. So you mathematicians, you ready? What are we up to now? 3,120. Then the Bible says 5,000 got saved in Acts chapter 4. Now we're up to 8,120. Then it says the church was multiplied. The lowest number you can multiply by and increase is the numeral 2. So now you're at 16,240. And so that church has taken off very quickly. This is less than a year. It could have been weeks. You think sometimes we have, sometimes when we have a lot of people baptized, it gets hectic up there. Candy, can you imagine? 3,000. How many were baptized today? 3,000. Get extra robes, get extra. I can't imagine. I'm sure they were at the river or something. So this church is growing, I mean, leaps and bounds. Jesus had preached 3.5 years. They had heard. They had seen his miracles. They pondered. They thought. Now they're getting saved by the droves. So now we see in Acts 6:1 again. I know you're looking at it. In those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring. This is the first time the M word is used in the book of Acts. The M word. You know what it is. Murmuring. Of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. And in these days, when someone was a widow, they had no Social Security. There was no government housing. There was no retirement accounts. They were just about destitute. And so there were a lot of these widows. Maybe their husbands had been martyred or killed for the faith. Maybe because of all the diseases and a lack of disease control. Maybe they died early on. We don't know. But some of these women were in dire straits. Sounds like they didn't have grown kids to take care of them. I mean, they were on their own. So these widows were neglected. And it says in the daily ministration, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, that's the 12 apostles, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It just doesn't make sense for us to leave the preaching, leave the soul winning, leave the counseling, leave the discipleship to go buy groceries and deliver them. Maybe someone else could do this. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men. Now they had 16,000 members, and they were only going to pick 7 men to service these widows. What kind of men? Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Not just good men, but men who were wise. They were practical and they were gifted. Whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We got to get the word out. That's our job. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He knew the Bible. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then these other guys, Philip, then the rest of these we don't know. Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and they had laid their hands on them, that meant they were putting their approval, anyway, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great number, a company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to speak on this subject tonight here in Acts chapter number 6. Just several thoughts about this thing of murmuring. I took notes when Loretta taught on this at the ladies' conference. It changed my life. Anyway, so let's have a prayer. We'll jump right in. Father, bless now this brief time we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the church is going and growing. They're soul winning. They're preaching. They're getting people in church. That's the main thing. But there were some other needs in the church. There were actually these widows who were not having enough food to eat daily. They were being neglected. I guarantee you, when we had the ladies' conference and we were working just tooth and nail and day and night, it seemed, for 2 months, get everything ready, I guarantee you had some things you neglected. I guarantee you, the houses weren't as clean as usual. Your cars weren't washed every week. Some of them, they weren't washed this whole year, but weren't washed every week. You probably didn't vacuum the cars out. You probably didn't have scheduled meals, 3 meals a day. There was a lot of things you just kind of said, I'll get to later, right? I mean, we were busy. Well, that's how this church was. And these women, somehow, they weren't whining. These widows weren't complaining. But some people said, you know, I don't think they're eating. You know, we're doing great. You know, we're reaching the city, but these people are part of our church, and they're neglected. Now, notice who these people were. It says, and they were murmuring. Verse 1, murmuring. The word murmur comes from this definition, an unintelligible noise that comes from the lips. Remember years ago, the cartoon Dick Tracy, and one of the little cartoon characters, his name was Mumbles. And anytime they drew his mouth, it looked like a wave. You know, his mouth was never open. It was just a wave, like, do what? And you never could understand what he said. Murmur, 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 murmur. So a murmur is speaking below our breath when we don't want anyone to hear what we're saying. We've all done it at some time. Who was murmuring in the church? The Grecians were murmuring against the Hebrews. So these were saved people, but they were a little bit different. The Greeks, you know, Greece was not Jerusalem. This church got started in Jerusalem. The Greeks were out of towners, but they were saved. They were in the same church, but some different opinions how things ought to be done. Show you what I'm talking about. I'm gonna count to three, and you just help me. Say the name, if you have one, of your favorite fast food restaurant. If you were to eat fast food, go in, pick it up, drive through, or get it, order it, pick it up, come home, eat it. Favorite fast food. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Habit. Okay, so here's all these different opinions. Okay, you help me. If you could have picked one team to be in the Super Bowl and they didn't play this year in the Super Bowl, what team would you have picked? 1, 2, 3. New Orleans Saints. Okay. Now see, we can't even agree on that. We can't agree on a restaurant. We can't agree on who ought to be in the Super Bowl. It's easy to have a little friction that way. A lot of Chiefs, not enough Indians. So here were these people, there was murmuring, both in the church, but different backgrounds, different opinions. I want to say this. You never criticize someone you truly love. Now, you may give them suggestions to help them, but you're never going to criticize them. And that's why Jesus said the beam story and the mote, The beam in the eye is looking for negative in somebody. When you love someone, you don't see that. We have a bunch of Filipino folks that are starting to come to the church now. They come all the way from Santa Rosa. One this morning walked in, hadn't seen them. I knew they were flying to the Philippines, I thought, to get engaged. And I said, "Well, where's the ring?" She said, "Here it is, Pastor." You know, I guarantee if you said, "Tell me everything wrong with your fiance," she'd say, "There's nothing wrong with my fiance." And then about that time, one of the young men said, "And Pastor, I didn't get engaged. I got married last month when I was in the Philippines. I got married." And so he was showing me his ring. I guarantee you, he wouldn't tell you anything negative about his new bride. You know why? He's in love. He's in love. People that love each other, where love is thick, faults are thin. Now, nothing's wrong with saying this is being dropped, this place being dropped, and I understand that, but notice what he says here. Skip over to the Old Testament. So this is a New Testament truth. For every New Testament truth, there's an Old Testament story. So let's look in Numbers, if you will, just for a moment, and let's notice. And so here's the sore spot, number one. In this story, here's the sore spot. Something was being neglected in the church, but instead of fixing it, they murmured about it. So look over here in Numbers 11, if you will, and notice what God thinks about murmuring. Notice where it all started here. And it doesn't matter what you call it, complaining, whining. And though we live in Napa, this is a no whining zone, no whine. And so Numbers 11, Moses is in the wilderness. He has brought these slaves, the people that got daily beatings, those who had no possessions and other people owned them, slavery. He had freed them with God's help. They're out in the, heading toward the promised land. Numbers 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." So God was so angry, not only did he get angry, he burned these people up. You'll find out God killed. And God is love, but also God is killed. No. But God is love, but God had judgment. He killed more people in the Old Testament for murmuring than any other sin. That's amazing. Look down in verse 5. "They remembered the wrong thing." Murmurers remember the wrong things. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now is our soul dried away, and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They minimize God's provision. God had given them bread. It tasted like honey. It tasted like seed. It tasted like wafers. It was biscuits. It was Cheerios. I mean, it was a wonderful taste. And they minimized it. We have nothing but this manna. And then they remembered what they used to eat when they were slaves. Verse 10, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, and every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly." Verse 15, Moses says, "If thou deal thus with me, kill me." Moses says, "I could take Pharaoh. I could take the plagues, I could take the frogs, I could take the darkness and the flies, I could take all of that, but I can't take this people's murmuring." That's what Moses said. And then let's skip down to verse number 18. "I say unto the people, sanctify yourselves together tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord." Skip all the way down to chapter number 12, verse 1. "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married." So not only did the people murmur, but now leadership murmured. It was three of them, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, two brothers and a sister. Now the brother and sister saying, "And Moses, we don't like your new wife." He didn't ask them. They didn't like his wife, and they talked about it. So that's recorded in God's word. And then you say, well, was God happy about that? God had a little conference with Aaron and Miriam. He said, hey, you three, come here. And he says, you didn't feel bad criticizing Moses and murmuring and complaining? Miriam came out of the meeting. She was a leper. She was a leper. God was upset over that. And then skip over a little bit to chapter 14. It's important we see how God views this. You say, Pastor, I'm just giving my opinion. I'm not murmuring. I'm not complaining. But chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. Now, this is after the 10 bad spies come back and said, we cannot take the promised land. The two good spies said, yes, we can. They said, we're not going to go in. They wept. And the congregation, 14:1, the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? They're saying, we wish we were back in Egypt. We wish we were back getting beaten as slaves every day. That's what we wish. They were murmuring. And look at another verse here, verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. Then skip down a little bit further here to verse number 27. God says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur, God speaking, against me? Did you get that? All murmuring is not just against someone else. It's against God. Isn't that amazing? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Wow. And then one last verse, 16:41. 16, verse number 41. And we see this just all throughout the scripture here in the Old Testament. 16:41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. So what happened here? Korah rebelled against Moses. God opened up the ground and swallowed Korah and his rebellious friends and acquaintances. Then they get mad at Moses and murmur and say, you killed these guys. It wasn't even Moses, it was God. So these people were murmuring. They had a sore spot. All murmuring ultimately against the Lord. Let me say this. Anytime there's a problem, whether it's at church, your family, at work, your neighborhood, never bring a problem to someone unless you've thought through a good solution. Don't just comment. You want to say, and here's how I think maybe we could help fix this. Years ago, I came out of a Sunday school. I just finished teaching in here, and I'm walking in the hallway, and people are coming in. Choir's getting ready to come in. Visitors are here and there. I'm trying to greet people. One of the men in the church walked up to me and he says, the toilet's overflowing in the men's room. You know, he was like 60. I figured, do you know how to plunge a toilet? Do you know what a toilet looks like? You know, there was a lot of cute things I had my mind to say to him. It's like, I'm headed to the pulpit right now. You want to preach the sermon while I unclog the toilet? What do you want me to do? No solution. It was just, the toilet is overflowing in the men's room. God bless you. All right. And I just walked to the pulpit. I mean, there's nothing I could do at that point. That's what I'm trying to say. That's almost a murmur. That's a semi-murmur. That might even be a heart murmur. Who knows? But you all, look, that man could have just said, hey, pastor's getting ready to preach. That's a pretty important job. I think I'm going to find a plunger. I'm going to, good exercise for me. I'm going to plunge that thing and we'll figure it out after church, but not 2 minutes before church. You don't want to be a murmurer. None of us ought to be a murmurer. I want to say this as well. Don't allow people to murmur to you. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. And I think they should have done this. And I don't like the boss. And I don't like the neighbors. And I don't like this person. See, this church was growing in the book of Acts. That did not cure all their problems. The bigger the church, the more the problems. I was talking to Brother Chapel years ago. If you don't know him, that's fine. He has a huge church. And I was complaining. I wasn't murmuring. I was complaining. And I said, Brother Chapel, we have this person. And it was years ago. I said, and I don't know how to handle them. And here's what they're doing. Here's what they're saying. And here's what, and this and that, this and that. And he looked at me. He looked at his wife. He said, Terry, how many of those do we have at our church? She said, we have 10, just like that guy. The bigger the church, the more the problems. The more the people, the more of those type problems. Oh, I can't believe it. Someone in our church, they're filing for divorce. Oh, what's happening to our church? You make the church 10 times this big, we'll have 10 times that many. Oh, a teenager's run away from home. The bigger the church, the more the problem. Oh, someone got arrested for drunk driving. The bigger the church, the more the problem. We're trying to reach people. Where there is no oxen, the crib is clean. Where there's no new people, there's no messes. And so if you don't want to be in a messy business, don't deal with people. You know, I guarantee you, some of the visitors we had here today probably have some baggage. They probably have some baggage, but we're here to help them turn their baggage over to Jesus Christ, help counsel them, get them in the Word of God, give them some joy so they have strength to face what they're going through, not just whine and complain about them. Jesus said this, John 6:43. Jesus answered, murmur not among yourselves. That's a command. That's at home. That's in the Christian school. That's in the youth group. That's at the ladies' activity. That's in the hallway. That's in the restrooms. That's in the lobby. Murmur not among yourselves. Philippians 2:14. The Word of God through Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Two other translations is this, whispering. God in the New Testament says, in the whisperers. When someone's murmuring, oftentimes they'll say, come here. Because they don't say, the toilet's clogged up, the pastor didn't. No, they're not going to do that. It'll be, hey, the toilet's overflowing. I told the pastor. He didn't do anything about it. You want to be careful about people that have to whisper things to you, the murmurers. It also means to moan, to moan. Every one of us ought to make a decision this evening. I'm not going to murmur. What do teens murmur about? Common murmurs of teenagers. Not all, but they're tempted to. Chores. Hey, why I got to do that? Because you live here. You live here and you don't pay rent. Chores. Fair treatment. You didn't tell the two-year-old he had to take the garbage out. He can't take it out. Students. Well, so-and-so didn't have to take that test. Sometimes parents murmur about, kids murmur about step-parents. Christians murmur about the weather. If you murmur about the weather in Napa Valley, you have a hole in your head. This is the greatest weather there is in the world. People move here to die. 55% of our city's retirement. People move here and say, this is the greatest. If you don't like this, you would really be murmuring anywhere else you live. Oh, the humidity. Oh, the hurricanes. Oh, the tornadoes. Oh, the mosquitoes. Oh, the bugs. Oh, the snakes. Wow, what a place we live. We murmur about the weather, murmur about our work. We murmur about people, the traffic. By the way, we have no traffic in Napa compared to other parts of the country. Oh, it's a drought. We need rain. It rains. Oh, it's too much rain. It snows. Oh, we hate the snow. We're never happy. We murmur about the government. We murmur about the president. You know, if we didn't have a bunch of crooked politicians, we'd have nothing to talk about. We murmur about the money at the house. How are we going to pay the bills? How much did you pay? We murmur about how we feel physically. How you doing? Oh! Oh! Now, let me encourage you again, folks. When someone asks, how you doing? That's one word. That is not a question. It is a comment. There's no question mark at the end of that. How you doing? The answer is fine. You have a home in heaven. You're saved. You have a Bible. You live in America. Fine. Fine. People really don't want to know how you're doing. Now, if I've asked you how you're doing, I really want to know. So I'm not picking on you tonight. Yeah, maybe it's a physical thing. How you doing? Don't be murmuring. Oh, the leg hurts. Oh, the head hurts. Oh, my back. Hey, if you're over 40, we understand. Everything's falling apart. You're dying. Okay, let's just have a little moan contest here. Let's just see who can moan the best. Just a moan. And don't say anything. I just want a moan. Okay, a moan. Can I get a teenage moan? Who wants to help me? Oh, brother. Sounds like indigestion. That's what that sounds like. Can I get a moan? Oh, brother. She's pulling the spiritual card. God said don't moan. And okay, brother Steve.
No moan.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Help me now. Help me.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Oh.
Anne Marie sounds like he's done that a little bit, huh? Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to help me? I've been just picking on people. Anybody? Just, hey, you're on worldwide internet. You're going to be famous. Who can give me a moan? Oh, brother. Wow, we're too contented or something like that. But if we're not careful. Hey, oh. It's good we're not in the Old Testament. God would just strike us dead. Just strike us dead. Behind closed doors, behind the tent doors, they moaned. What is Satan's goal? Here it is. Divide the members. And I don't know of any problem in our church right now. We're working through the book of Acts. Divide the members through murmuring and discourage the leader. That's what happened to Moses. He heard so much murmuring, he got upset, hit the rock. God said, you just lost your ticket to the promised land. He could take anything, but he couldn't take the murmuring. Oh, maybe you heard the story. Supposedly, this man was called to be a priest. And moved off to a monastery where the priests are taught and where they live. And the rule was they had to be so under self-control. They could only say two words every 5 years. So he was at the monastery. Maybe you heard this, Brother John. And so at the end of 5 years, they said, well, you got anything to say? He said, food, bad. He was there 5 more years at the monastery, and they said, got anything else to say? After 5 years, two words. Bed hard. 5 more years passed. They said, hey, what do you have to say? I quit. And they said, well, we're not surprised. All you've done is complain since you've been here. And so what is the solution? Let's look back over here in Acts 6. Notice what they did. So these widows were neglected. So what did they do? They came up with a solution. Number one, we see the sore spot. Number two, we see the solution. They said, hey, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's not the question of position. It's not that those 12 apostles were too good to go get the groceries. It's a question of priorities. The apostles didn't want to do what anyone could do when they could do things no one else could do. Does that make sense? I'll never say it again, right? They didn't want to get sidetracked. They didn't want to get sidetracked. Years ago, I called a pastor, and the secretary said, he can't come to the phone right now. Him and all the members are picketing our 7-Eleven in town. Because they sell pornography. Well, look at almost every store in our town. I called back. Oh, he's at the 7-Eleven. Every time I called him, they were picketing outside the 7-Eleven. I've called pastors. I said, hey, can I talk to someone? No, they're picketing the abortion clinic in our town. And I'm for all of that. They ought to shut all that stuff down, the pornography and the abortion. But sometimes a church can get a little sidetracked. There was a pastor of a big church where Aunt Pat went. Her pastor pastored in Bangor, Maine. Bangor. That's how they say it. It was such a big church, the pastor felt like, since he had a radio or television ministry, he ought to run for governor. He ran for governor of the state of Maine, the pastor. A good man. He didn't win, but he's not the pastor of that church anymore either. They got a little sidetracked. I don't know how many times I've met pastors. What's a pastor doing? He's teaching in the Christian school. He's coaching. He's doing that. He's doing that. Many good things to do, but not the best thing for him to be doing. My first Sunday here, I came here, and Sunday afternoon, someone says, "Pastor, you're preaching at Piner's Nursing Home this afternoon." I said, "I'm doing what? You're preaching to the old folks at Piner's Nursing Home." I said, "Well, you know, it's my first Sunday. I don't even know what that is. Probably you guys need to do that." I wasn't above it, and I've done rest home services. My job was trying to get this church going, not holding all these rest home services. I had to figure out my battles. So they're talking about murmuring. They're talking about what is the solution. All men are called to do ministry, but not all are called to be wholly given to ministry. So we see these four deacons here. The word deacon means servant. Flip over, if you will, just for a moment to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we see Paul going into detail. What were these guys' jobs? What kind of men were they supposed to be? 16,240 members in the church, seven. So they had one deacon per 2,000 members at this time. We see 1 Timothy 3. Here's the qualifications. And you saw some of what they already said about them. I'm hurrying, and we're just about done. So 1 Timothy 3, and look down into verse number, here it is, verse 7. 1 Timothy 3, 7, verse 8. "Likewise must the deacons be grave, sober-minded, not double-tongued, not saying one thing here, one thing somewhere else, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre." In other words, money is not the number one goal in their life. "Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let those first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, them being found blameless. Nothing can stick. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers." You could say gossips. "Sober, serious-minded, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." So look at their kids, look at their wife, and then look at their life. And so this is what these people were like. And so notice here back in Acts 6, and then we're finishing up here. Acts chapter 6, we see the sore spot. There were the widows being neglected. We see number two, the solution. They said, "We're going to get these men. These seven men, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of God's power. They were soul winners. They could win souls. They could preach. They were gifted. They could organize. These men." And then we see in verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly." Now we had 16,240. Now it said they multiplied greatly. So the lowest number you can multiply by is 2. If you're going to say greatly, the next step up would be 3. 16,240 times 3 is 48,000 and a bunch. So now the church is at 48,000 members. It is exploding. How come? Because they kept the main thing. The main thing. In 37 years, we've had a lot of suggestions. "Pastor, why don't we men have a softball league, and we can play the Catholics, we can play the church down the street. Why wouldn't we do that? Anyone have an idea?" Here's why. I wouldn't want all the men in jail. Because I know how our men are. "Your church stinks." "Really? Well, there'd be fights, there'd be riots." It wouldn't be just a friendly game of baseball. Plus, we're doing good to just get here on Sunday and get back on Sunday night. You got our families here on Wednesday night. That's two nights of the week we're at church, 2 out of 7. Now you got 5. If you go soul winning on Saturday for a while or some other time, now you're going from home about 3 different times. If you're involved in the well ministry on Friday nights, now you're going another night. So we don't want you here every day. There's life outside of the church building. We don't want your kids to grow up and say, we never did anything. We never had a vacation. We never had any fun. We never shot hoops. We never did anything. We're always at church. Now, you ought to want to always be at church, but there's life outside of these doors. It ought to be, we're going out to eat. We're going on a family vacation. We're going to do this. We're going to set up a tent. Man, we got this activity. We're jumping on the trampoline. We're playing games. We're playing. It ought to be some things like that too. Got to keep the main thing the main thing. We had a real good Sunday today. I saw all the men, Brother Berto. I saw all the men that rode that van. What did you have, 10, 12 today? Yeah. I saw them right back here. I saw them. I always love it when we have first-time visitors sitting in the back who's a little snooty. I want all those guys sitting all around them. Kind of humbles them. I don't know how many of those men that Brother Berto picked up today, just no one's loving them. But the Lord through him, through our church. And they feel welcome and they're loved. I saw one of them who came in needing help. Now he's in charge of a home helping. And that's what the Lord's doing. How come? Because we've tried to keep the main thing. The main thing. All those visitors here, it's because some people loved a young couple who used to come to our church, and they've been gone a long time. Just came back, but some people loved on them. They felt important. Oh, you ought to dedicate the baby. We made a big deal over it. And all those people heard the gospel today. In the Spanish service, because they're keeping the main thing, the main thing. And people are being saved, and they're fellowshipping. So here it is. So the decision tonight, let's not be murmurers. And I'm not hearing a lot, so please don't. Well, man, pastor must be hearing. No. It was the next message. But somehow it's preventative maintenance. We don't want to murmur. Don't be a murmurer. Don't whine about things that it's not your business or you never want to come up with a solution for it. You just want to say it because you're upset. Let's not be murmurers. Let's not complain. Let's not be moaning. Keep in your moans. I don't know if you're like me. I have to watch it when I just lay down. Oh. My dad lived to be 89. And when he was living at home, he would lay down in bed. He had 6 pillows. I'd say, Dad, you only need 1 pillow, you know, for your little head right here. No, son. Everything hurt. 1 for his shoulder. 1 for the knee. He had ridden a bull and been thrown off and football injuries, hurt his knee, hurt his shoulders, football throwing arm. It was almost like a cat. If you've ever seen a cat jump on the couch and it's got to fluff those pillows just right and it walks around. That's how my dad was. Had to get that pillow here and that pillow here and that pillow here, this knee up. He said, okay, turn the light off. Let's not be moaners. Let's not moan at the house. It's not moan when we're soul winning. It's not moan in the ministry. Let's not be moaning young people at the house. Do you mind doing the dishes? And we stomp all the way to the kitchen and we moan and throw water. Let's not be moaners. Let's be happy campers. And then as things get bigger and something's neglected, bring it to someone and say, I think I got a solution for this. I see some people are kind of spread thin. What do you think about? And the Lord would be pleased and people will be saved.